5, verses 17 through 30. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh here, and I work." Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honored the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which have sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." Amen. 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 Precious Lord, we hear you. We hear the word. We've heard the word. We've understood the word. We believe the word. Father God, we understand that there is two resurrections. One, a resurrection of life, and a resurrection of damnation. Yes, Father, those words are so clear, and it just makes us realize how important it is for us to believe, to have faith in Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary. And as our theme is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Father, thank you for the faith that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, may be seated. I look at our lesson and our text and our theme that we've been talking about. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I've said it last week. We talked about faith. We talked about some of the great faith of some of the great men and women of God. We talked about the faith of the Syrophoenician woman when she came to the Lord and on behalf of her daughter, which was grieving her, tormenting her. And we knew that the work being done on her daughter is like the work being done on some of our sons and daughters is none other work of Satan. Satan. But When I read that and say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it just pushes me to, I gotta make sure not only myself, but the people that God has put under this church, under this pastor, that we understand what it means to have faith. Now look at verse 24, and I may look at verse 29, but I want to look at verse 24 because that's where it talks about the importance of believing. And I titled this message, and one of the titles, it might not show up online like this, but the everlasting faith of the believer. How about that? Everlasting faith. We want to make sure not only we had a right faith, but we have everlasting faith.
Amen.
Everlasting faith. And that to me is the kind of faith that will give us life everlasting. That's so important. Verily, verily, verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily. He says, pay attention. This is really, really important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. Let me read it one more time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, he that heareth my word, faith cometh how? By hearing. Nobody's getting saved today without hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? You got to hear the word of God. It has to be preached. Okay? And again, it's not always cozy. It's not always pleasant. But getting to heaven is going to take some work. You're not going to waltz, tap dance, I got all these words, into heaven. You're not going to waltz into everlasting life. How many know that? Well, I know some of you guys know it.
Amen.
You're on the road to heaven. Some of us, the Bible says, only got a few steps. I heard some songs say, I only got a few miles to go. I heard Jake preach about the leaves falling on the trees. What a great illustration of life.
Amen.
Some leaves stay on the tree a little longer than others. But every one of us is on the tree. Every one of us is on the tree. And by wintertime, there's not going to be a leaf on some of these trees. Okay? So, when I look at a verse like this, it says, and I say unto you, personal, he that heareth my word, hear it and understand it. Hear it and understand it. The gospel, John 3:16, and believeth on him that sent me. We know who sent Jesus. God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see that all wrapped up in John 5:24. John 3:16 just runs through the Bible. Just runs through the Bible. How many remember back in the day, years ago, when a team would score a touchdown and they would stick up 3:16? Everybody knew what it meant. 3:16. Okay? And you don't see that no more. No. You don't see that no more. Take that down. The NFL's changed and the people's changed. They don't want to be reminded of their need for a Savior. We're here to have time. We're here to have a good time. Okay? Watch this, though. Three things. Three big words in the first three. Without the first three, you can't have the last three. If you don't get the first three, you won't get the last three. Okay? Heareth the word and believeth. And then the last three big words in this text. Everlasting life, condemnation, and pass from death unto life. How about that? One more time, just as I move through the sermon. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, what's the flip side of that? What's the flip side of that to the person who may hear but don't believe? Churches is full of folks that hear and don't believe. Listen. Let me read the text. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Okay? The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now there's a time, and I'll take this spiritually, when all of us in here were spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 says we was dead in our trespasses and sins. And we heard the word of God. We heard the word. Only way you come out of this spiritual death is by hearing the word of God. Okay? And it says in verse 25, they that hear the word shall live. Hear means understand it. So what's the flip side, people? This is why I become so desperate. This is why it's so duty bound that the pulpit be filled with preachers who declare this.
Amen.
This has to be preached.
Amen.
Because folks that don't hear don't go to heaven. And people say, well, that's why people don't like Christianity. Well, it is what it is.
Amen.
It is what it is, because if we're gonna stand on the Bible, we gotta stand on all of it. Okay?
Amen.
And we gotta stand on all of it. And then people say, well, you know, that's why Christianity is struggling and going through, and it is what it is. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says this. Listen. It says, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now people say, well, that's mean. It may be troubling, but it's not designed to trouble you. It's designed to give you a sense of desperation when you talk to lost souls, when you talk to lost people that you love, and they see your desperation. Say, you know, son, daughter, cousin, granny, mommy, sister, brother. Listen, it's important that you believe. And we don't like that. Because they're going to kick us out of the group. Kick us out of the club. Kick us out of the little circle. Well, we don't, you know, you a believer. You take that Christianity too serious. Can we take it too serious? Can we take it too serious? Look at 5:29. I'm gonna go into this text. I want to talk about the importance of believing. But John 5:29, same part of this. It says, and shall come forth, and they that have done good. Now this isn't going out doing penance. This isn't going out doing good week deeds and helping old ladies cross the street with their buggies and helping people pick up turkeys at the grocery store. You know, that's not what this means. Doing good. Okay? And it says, they that have done good. They that have lived a righteous life have done all they can in their own power to live a life that's pleasing to God. Because they're none righteous. No, not one. Okay? They that have done good, I call it this, proven faith. They've proven that they are a believer by how they live. They don't live perfect lives. And I don't think Noah lived a perfect life. We studied Noah this morning. Noah didn't live a perfect life. He wasn't perfect. Okay? But when he sinned and when he fell short, he continued offering sacrifices. He continued offering sacrifices. And that's what we do. When we go unto the Lord and we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just. To forgive. And in Matthew 25:34 said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. That's where you want to be.
Amen.
That's where you want to be. They weren't perfect. They were on his right hand. He didn't say, the king said unto them that was perfect, come to my right hand. He said to them on his right hand, come and ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And if you follow that text, these folks didn't even realize they was doing this stuff. It was just second nature for them to be loving and kind. Be loving and kind. Pastor, where are you going? Here's what I want to talk about. Faith in Christ. Okay? Faith in Christ. I call it this. Hear the word and believe. Hear the word and believe. Those are the big three out of the verse. Hear the word and believe. How's your believing? How's your believing? How about that? I don't know if that's a word. How's your believing? Because the word of God is filled with it. And I'm going to give you a whole lot of verses today. I'm going to just give you a whole lot of verses today. And I'm not going to give you John 3:16. And we know John 3:16 is a believing verse. But look at John 3:36. Say with me. And he that believeth on the Son of God. Now remember the flip side of all these verses. Because I want you to believe. And how does believing come? Faith cometh by hearing. So when you hear the word believing, really what you're hearing is faith. To believe is to have faith is to believe in God. To have faith is to trust in God. To have faith is to commit your life to God. So when you see the word believe it, God, he's not just saying, oh, I believe, you know, I believe this and I believe that. No, this is a serious belief that Jesus is the Son of God who came and died for the sins of the world. That's not easy to believe. John 3:36, I'm going to read it. He that believeth on the Son of God have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. This is the word of God. You say, well, Pastor, that's you. No, it's the word of God. That's the word of God. And I'm glad that somebody saw my need and prayed for me. And I prayed and I thank God that he gave me the faith. When I heard the word of God, I could believe. That I could believe. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, Jesus, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do we see God today? Anybody seeing God today? See him in his word. You see him in his word. You see his work on Calvary's cross. You see him when you see believers, when you see someone who's been born again, you see God's work. You see God's handiwork. Remember when Lazarus had died and Jesus came back and was talking with Mary and Martha. Martha was troubled because Jesus didn't come faster. And when Jesus got there, watch what he says to her. Watch what he says to her. This is profound. John 11:25. Most of us know the text really, really well. Okay? And many of us have been to funerals and we see people panicking. I've been to funerals, I see people faint. Like, oh, I mean, they faint. And they want to get in the casket and all. And it can be chaos. And many of us have seen it. But those of us who know the Lord, and I look around here and I see all you guys that have been through and buried some folks you love. Why did you act like that? I've heard people in here in this room get condemned because you act like you didn't even care. No, they didn't act like I didn't care. It was just because I understand. Amen. I understand life and death. Okay? I remember when Claire was going through it, and I, you ain't crying. Why? You know, she heard that. Ann heard it when she buried her mother. Why didn't you? My mother in good hands. Amen. My mother knew the Lord. She praised him and worshiped him all her life. She lived for this day. Then when I say people, when a loved person that loved the Lord died, it ought to be a celebration. Amen. Congratulations. Praise the Lord. And I can't say that to everybody. I can say it to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. They made it. What are we doing this for? That's right. That's right. Got a master's. Okay, see what are we doing this for? And this is what Jesus is telling Mary and Martha. When Jesus show up on the scene, and they giving him the business. And Jesus said unto her, "Here, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, like your brother did, okay, like your brother did, or like your mother did, or like your cousin did, or like your uncle did. He that believeth in me have put his trust in me, has put his faith in me, have depended on me. Notice I didn't say nothing about tithing, nothing about speaking in tongues, nothing about running around in the church, nothing about taking care of the pastor anniversary or the church anniversary, none of that. Okay? See, them folks that do all that gonna come to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, remember, we did all this work. He said, no, the key thing is not how much work you do, and work is good. I don't want y'all to stop working. But the key to it all is that he that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he or she live. Amen. How about that? Ain't a wonderful verse. What Jesus saying? Amen. Jesus said, I have the power to restore life, to impart life, to give life, to maintain life. Jesus said, I can do it all. Amen. And he wasn't boasting. Amen. He wasn't boasting. He said, the life and death, the power of life and death, what? Resides in me. In me. Here's a great story, and I got a lot of just Bible today. Here's Doubting Thomas. Now watch what Jesus tells Doubting Thomas. And then he's so loving. I wish I was as loving as Jesus. But that's why I like to read scripture. Go watch what he says to Thomas. See if you catch it. Now the other disciples were there, and they seen Jesus. They told Thomas that Jesus showed up. And Thomas, y'all know the story. Thomas said, let's I see him for myself. I won't believe. See that? What kind of faith is that? That's unbelieving faith. Okay? But Jesus is so passionate. And in John chapter 20, verse 26, Jesus is so compassionate. He comes back just for Thomas. Just for Thomas. Just beautiful. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Watch this now. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now the doors being shut. He wasn't in there already. Okay? And then said he to Thomas. Then said he to Thomas. It was personal. He loved Thomas. He loved Thomas. He said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. And now watch this. This is the key to the whole thing. Because he said, Thomas, this is your big problem. And be not faithless, but believing. Let me say that again. Because there's some of us in here. Listen, I don't know where your faith is at. I know all of us is going through. All of us are struggling. All of us are struggling. All of us got issues and battles that we face. And that's just dangerous. Ain't none of us in here exempt. But Thomas, Jesus said to him what he said to us. He said this to us. He said this to Kier. Just walked in. I'm going to get it right on you because I love you. And he said to Thomas, he said the same thing to Kier. He said the same thing to Jake. He said the same thing to Jeremy. And he said the same thing to me. And be not faithless. Amen. But believing. Why? Why would he have to say that to Thomas? Thomas walked with the Lord, seeing all the miracles and seeing everything Jesus did. Watched him probably die on the cross from a distance. Because, see, this world attacks our faith. This world we live in will attack your faith because Satan knows. Without faith, it's impossible. Not hard. Not difficult. You're not going to struggle with this. It is impossible to please God. And you have to keep a check. Some of you on sugar. Some of you on high blood pressure. You're going to get the blood pressure check. Get the sugar check. Get your faith checked.
Amen.
Think about that. Get your faith checked. Listen, do a faith check. You hear it. I hear it all the time. People, oh, I got to go get this check. I get my oil checked. I got to get this. Get your faith check. Amen. We check everything, but we don't check our faith. And think about the most important things to you. I don't know what it is to you. I don't know what's the most important thing to you, but to me and my family, I'm taking care of making sure Cindy has the things that she needs, you know? And for me to do that, it takes sacrifice because that's important for me. And that's in the physical world. But in a spiritual world, what's the most important thing to you? It has to be your faith. Why? Because without it, can't please God. So it would behoove you to do what? To protect it, to strengthen it, to keep it, to lock it up. You don't want nobody messing with your faith. You don't want to be around folks that just want to mess with your faith. And I know I struggle with this because I work in a godless, evil, wicked place. And I had to remove myself from that. And there's sometimes you just got to remove yourself from stuff that's going to attack your faith. Okay? They moved my office on the job. They moved my office. They put my, and I know God takes care of his people.
Amen.
They had me right there in the snack area, right in the break area. My office right in the break area. And I heard every conversation. People just come to the office all the time. And they say, I walked to work one day. And they say, well, Tatlin, we got to move your office. We're going to turn this into another room. And they put me in an isolated place. And I'm sitting here like, I know we didn't tell you. I know we didn't give you no heads up. And I know you're upset. I'm sitting here like, oh, must be out of y'all mind. I'm just going along with it. I'm like, really? You put me in a place where nobody can get to me? Well, but understand that without faith, amen, it's impossible to please God. Now, listen. I'm gonna start here with this next one because your faith comes under attack. Okay? Your faith comes under attack. And how does it? Think about it. And I got a couple more weeks of stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna get through all this faith stuff, okay? Okay? But the believer faith will always be under attack. And I'm gonna use scripture to back it up. Remember Jesus. And here's a guy that had unbelieving friends. Any of you got unbelieving friends? You're going to take so much of them, right? Seriously. Sometimes you don't even want to. Okay? How many of you like hanging around your unbelieving friends on Sunday? And you didn't come from church, you didn't praise the Lord, you didn't say, and now the unbelievers come around. Here's a picture of the man. Here's a picture of a man with unbelieving friends. Mark 5:35. Now watch this. Now y'all know this story. Here's the woman with the issue of blood. She's coming, and the man from the synagogue is coming, and he's got a problem with his daughter. His daughter is near death. But he's got unbelieving friends. He's got faithless friends. And his faithless friends see the situation, and they come in Mark 5:35, and they say, and while Jesus yet spake. Now he's getting ready to go to this man's house. He's getting ready to go and touch this man's daughter, Jairus' daughter. And there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, now there's a bunch of them. This man, because he was a synagogue, he didn't believe in Jesus, but he had unbelieving friends. Okay? And it says, and came from the ruler's synagogue house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? What's that? What are they saying? It's over. Too late. He didn't call him the Lord. He called him master. Nothing he can do now. She gone already. And when Jesus got to her house, what was he outside doing? He had to put them all out. He had to put them all out. And sometimes, let me tell you something, folks. Oh, y'all don't like that. Well, that ain't loving. You know, sometimes you got to put folks out. I'm just being 100. Sometimes you got to put folks out. Oh, man. You know, because see they keep them different kind of spirits in your house. Okay. You got to be careful. Listen, how about this one? Jesus says, there'll be scoffers in the last days. How many know what a scoffer is? A scoffer, someone who says, whatever, it don't matter. These people just hate the things of God, hate Jesus. They hate it. Because it will intrude on their life. You get a scoffer, then you know, the scoffers today. You get scoffers, they like smoking dope, they like drinking, they like smoking, and they like doing whatever they want to do. Okay? And you know what the scoffer gonna tell you? You're a fool. You're a fool for believing. We having so much fun. Scoffers having a whole lot of fun. They doing a whole lot of big things. Watch this now. Watch this. Let me see if I can put this together. 2 Peter 3. And what I'm talking about is your faith. Protecting it. Because you got unbelieving friends. And they can be family members. They can be loved ones. They can be your husband. Amen. You know, if you got an unbelieving husband, you're going to take so much of him.
I knew Mark was going to give me an amen.
And you have unbelieving loved ones. And you got to take, I can't take but a certain dose of him. Now, I used to tell my brother, when my father was unsaved, I tell my brother, I said, well, yeah, I'm not going over his house on Sunday. No, hey, I'm not taking my joy. Sunday is like the Sabbath. I ain't fooling around no godless folks. Listen. 2 Peter 3 and 3. What's it? Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Now, when did the last days start? When Jesus died on the cross. Okay? When it come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust. That's what a scoffer do. Peter just explained it. They walk after their own lust. They do whatever make them feel good. Eat, drink, and marry. Scoffers. Okay? Uh-huh. Turn on the TV about 1:30 and you see all Pittsburgh Stadium be full of scoffers. Uh-huh. Amen. Okay? And if I wasn't saved and born again and in church, I'd probably be right. I wouldn't be in Pittsburgh. I'd probably be right. Okay? 1 o'clock. Listen, y'all go on church site. I'm not doing church today. It's scoffer's day. Okay? But that's what he's saying. Walking after their own lust, doing what they don't want to do. Doing what they ever want to do. And you know what the Bible do? The Word of God restrict you. It will restrict you.
Amen.
If you truly love the Lord, then you're going to live a different way. Amen. Scoffers don't want to live a different way. Amen. They want to be saved. And see, a lot of preachers know they want to be. They want to come to church because they think coming to church will get them to heaven. Okay, so they make the church real cozy for the scoffers. And they don't preach a message that, you know, scoffer, you're going to hell, right? And they don't say that. Uh-huh. And they want the scoffer to feel comfortable. Come on in, scoffers welcome. You see the signs out in the front of the church. Everybody welcome. Everybody ain't welcome.
Amen.
That ain't nowhere in the Bible. Church ain't for everybody. See, we everybody welcome. I don't want to go to a church where everybody welcome because I don't want to be around certain people. And I'm in church.
Amen.
I'm making any sense. Toya's shaking her head at me. But the church, and Claire and I used to talk about this all the time. It's an ecstasy. It's a place where born again believers go.
Amen.
And then if an unbeliever come in, he ought to hear the word of God. He ought to hear it so hard and so powerful that he either want to change his life or he say, I ain't never coming back.
Amen.
He shouldn't come back and join. An unbeliever joining the church. How's that work? I gotta say, unbelievers can join Planet Fitness. And unbelievers can join the Y. And unbelievers can join the Masons. And unbeliever can join a lot of stuff. But an unbeliever can't join the church.
Amen.
You gotta be born again.
Amen.
And nobody wanna talk that anymore. Well, we need all the unbelievers because the unbelievers got to pay the bills. When God pays the bills.
Yeah.
When God stop paying the bills here, then we'll meet at my house.
Amen. Amen.
Not, man, it'd be cold. It won't be cold, Margaret. but the point is, you know, the church is for born-again believers. Oh, watch this. Let me give you something else. I gave you one, I gave you two, I gave you three. Let's go back. Let's go back to some great, great, great people of God. Great people of God, I'm close. I ain't gonna be long. I'll say that. I want to talk about these people. Because all of them had to make some sacrifices. All of them went through. They're not one of the ones that I'm going to mention didn't struggle, didn't go through. And I got the big three, big four, big five. I can go down the list because everybody God used went through. Nobody that God filled with his spirit and his power didn't struggle. Okay? Didn't struggle. Here's Abraham, and here's his faith, and here's his faith on display, and it was powerful, and it was victorious, and we know the story. I'm just gonna give you one verse, but God called Abraham and said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice his. Take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him." What did Abraham do? Took him up to the mountain, and then the boy. Some theologians say he was about 16. And when they got to the mountain, and the boy said, he said, hey, daddy, where's the lamb? Okay, now look at Abraham's faith. And Abraham said, "My son, watch this now. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they both went up together and worshiped. How about that? How about that? How about that? We was talking about this in Sunday school. And the Bible said, and Joshua and Caleb went into the land, and there was giants in the land. But what did God say to Joshua and Caleb? He said, I'm fighting this battle. This is on me. You just go on there. You didn't wave your swords around. That's all. And Joshua says, now, therefore, and I'm in Joshua 14:12. "Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." Okay? "For thou hast heardest in that day how the Anakites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced in. If so be the Lord will be with me," watch this now, "then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." What's that? What kind of faith is that? That's some victorious faith. Here's David. I got this great list. I'm going to give you just one or two more. Oh, This is a great list. Here's David. Here's David walking up to Saul. The battle's raging. The giant's out there sending out wolf tickets. Sending out big time wolf tickets. And this threatening the God of Israel. And they all trembling and shaking. And here's David. And David says to Saul, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." How about that? How about that? Then here's Job. Can't get away from Job. Victorious. See, when we get caught up in our battles, and you know what the biggest problem is? We want to fight them ourselves. We want to fight them ourselves. Put the Lord on them. Put the Lord on that husband. Put the Lord on that child, that son, that daughter. Put the Lord on them. Okay? Put the Lord on them. Here's Job battling. Folks telling Job, his three friends, they was messed up. His wife, "Give up, Job, give up. Just curse God and die." Here's what Job says. Job says this in Job 19:25. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." How did he know? Because he had faith in God. He had faith in God and what God has done. He said, "And I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Upon the earth. How about that? Y'all got room for one more?
Amen.
One more. Two more. I got a lot. Here's the three Hebrew boys. I love these stories because they give me energy. Because, you know, I could be fighting my battles. I look at Abraham. I look at Caleb. I look at David. I look at Job. And I look at Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. And the Hebrews, I'm not dancing to that. Okay? Y'all can blow them horns all day. Y'all can hit them drums all day. I'm not dancing. I'm not dancing to no devils. Okay? And Nebuchadnezzar called them boys to him, and Nebuchadnezzar was a bad man, a wicked man. And he said, "Y'all gonna dance? Oh, I'm going to have to put y'all in the fire. They said, listen. Here's what they said in Daniel 3. If it be so. Oh, Lord. If it be so, O King Nebuchadnezzar, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. O King. Got that kind of faith? That's the kind of faith you need in this world we live in. Listen. Here's Paul. How can I talk about great men and women without faith, without talking about Paul, if I can find it? Here's Paul, about to get his head cut off. When you get to 2 Timothy, you read the Bible, you get to 2 Timothy, then you know Paul about ready to get his head cut off. They get ready to kill him. Okay, he in a Roman jail, or he in an Ephesian jail. He in jail. That's what Paul spent most of his time. He spent more time in jail than me. Paul's in jail. Now Paul was going through. Everywhere he went, folks was like, I'm going to take a fast. We're not going to even eat until Paul died. Come on, man. And what did Paul do? Not to preach the gospel. What did God promise Paul and Ananias? He's going to suffer greatly for me. Okay, I'm off. Now watch this now. 2 Timothy 1:12. What a great verse. I know I might have said it last week, but it's worth repeating. Paul knew fully well who Jesus was. And we have the same opportunity to know Jesus like Paul did. Somebody said, no, we don't. Yes, we do. We got a completed Bible. But Paul says this in 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, for which cause I suffer these things. See, when you sign up for Christianity, you sign up to suffer. See, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through nothing. We don't want our back hurt. We don't want our fibro jumping in. We don't want no pain. We don't want this sciatic nerve that's bothering me. We don't want nothing. We're going right up the street to the faith healer. Touch this. Heal me. I don't want no pain. Pain reminds us. Okay? Pain reminds us that it's getting closer and closer for us to meet the Lord. And we want all the pain to go away. And that's what the devil, almost satanic. Okay? You need pain. Think about it. You need that arthritis to flare up every once in a while. You need that sugar to flare up every once in a while. You need that blood pressure to flare up every once in a while. You need to go in and get you a colonoscopy every once in a while. Drink that stuff. Okay? Why? Because it reminds you that you are on your way out of here. Yes. And we don't want, no. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Listen, let me tell you something. Jesus talked about a lot. Paul talked about a lot. Because we leaving here. It's appointed unto man. Once to die and after that, the judgment. You're not changing that appointment. All of us got that appointment. One thing you can't Google in on your Google calendar. It's not going to remind you, that appointment may come today for somebody in here.
Amen.
Now, when I think about the passing of Reverend Jones, I can sit here and say, you know what? I know one thing for certain, two things for sure. As long as he sat right there, he heard the gospel. Amen. He heard it. And he would call me and talk to me and all the time about some of the things that I said. Okay? And like Paul, we should be able to say the same thing. Paul says this. He said, for the which cause, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless. Can anybody say nevertheless? Nevertheless. You're going through all your suffering. You're going through all that. You got all kind of problems. Okay? Children problems, husband problems, wife problems, baby problems. You got gastric problems, all kind of problems. Life. Okay? Somebody said life happens. We got stuff going on. But Paul, can you say like Paul, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. How about that? I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. How about that? For I know who I have believed. I know him personally. And I am persuaded. That word persuaded me, fully convinced You're not, I am steadfast, unmovable. I am fully convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He holding it. Know what Paul said that? Because Paul know he's going to leave this world. He's going to be stripped down. He's going to have nothing. The Bible, somebody said, one of the songwriters said, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. You're not walking up into heaven with a suitcase, open it up and say, here are all my stuff I done. You're going to walk up in there naked and unashamed. And he gonna, God going to see it. He said, come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son. Well, let me give you the last one. Come on. Here's one that really struck me. Struck me. About the church. About the church. About the church. And I hear Jake praying, and I hear everybody, I hear people complain. People find out I'm a preacher, and man, they start laying in on me. Woo! Laying in on me. Why preachers do this, and why preachers do that, and why y'all always begging for money, and why y'all always gotta have Cadillacs, and why y'all always gotta wear... I don't want a Cadillac, I want a Lexus. But but look at Romans. Turn to Romans 9:33, and then I'm gonna close with this one. But this is important because see, the church has a responsibility. Church has a responsibility, and the responsibility of the church is to preach Jesus Christ. And I know it can get redundant. And I know, well, I can't preach Jesus Christ every Sunday. Yes, you can. Every Sunday, you preach Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. And that's what the Word of God said. Paul said, I am determined to preach Christ and him crucified every Sunday. We're going to preach on how to, you know, manage your finances. And there ain't no room for that on Sunday morning. Amen. Okay? There ain't no room for that on Sunday morning. Well, we got Dave Ramsey. I got Dave Ramsey. He's going to talk about how to. I don't want to hear about Dave Ramsey on Sunday.
Amen.
Okay? Dave Ramsey didn't die on the cross for me.
Amen.
I don't hear it. I don't want to hear five love languages on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Here's Romans 9:33. And Paul said, as it is written, behold, pay attention. Behold, as it is written, behold. I lay in Zion. Zion is a church. A stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You can see all the verses that point to Jesus. Point to John 3:16. Okay? Behold, I lay in Zion. Huh? I lay in Zion what? A stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Somebody say, Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my rock. He is the rock of the church. He is the strength of the church. He is the cornerstone of the church. And what that means, it holds all the weight of the church. Take out the cornerstone, and what do you have? Take out the cornerstone of the church, what do you have? You have a weak foundation. It's going to do what? Somebody said it's going to crumble. Okay? And Jesus is the cornerstone. He holds up the church. He supports the church. And we don't preach Jesus Christ is not a church. And I understand that because a lot of folks don't call their churches no more. They call them sinners.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then they get in. It's a church.
Uh-huh.
It's a church. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. He says this. And if you preach them, and teach him and preach him, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, in police work and correction work, we got who, what, why, and where. Okay, all that. Five W's and an H or something like that. I don't forget. All right? But here's one of the what. What won't you be ashamed of? What won't the believer be ashamed of? Because some of us are ashamed. Okay? Some of us are ashamed because we know how people feel about the things of God. So we don't, you know, when I tell you all the story about the man at his job, and he was in a little cozy area, and he got transferred to another area where they was cussing and swearing and pornography. They was doing all kind of stuff. Then he told his wife, oh, Lord, have mercy. I got to go to that area. And if they find out I'm a Christian, they're gonna laugh at me and ridicule me, and there's a bunch of scoffers up there. His wife said, oh, go home, honey, you'll be all right, go on to work, you'll be all right. And he came home the next day, and his wife was looking for him and said, honey, how'd it go? He said, it went wonderful. They never found out I was a Christian. See, to see the believer, we'll never be ashamed of our choice. The choice we made to follow Christ, we'll never be ashamed of our choice. Okay? We'll never be ashamed of our profession. Talk about it. Profess the things of God. We'll never be ashamed. We'll never be ashamed of our service. Some of you guys don't work in here. Some of you do great work in the church. Can't thank you enough. Can't pay you enough. But you know what, God? God sees your work, and you'll never be ashamed of it. You'll never be ashamed of it. Paul was a man of sorrows. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Paul was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You're going to be a woman or a man of sorrows. You're going to have sorrows. Okay? I think this is one of the things that we really get ashamed of. We don't think we should have no sorrows. We think everything got to be perfect. Okay? And you're looking, oh, I'm a Christian. Everything's supposed to be perfect. No, it's not. Not on this side. You're going to have reproaches. You're going to have sufferings. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have persecution. You're going to have all that. But you'll never be ashamed of it if you're persecuted for the right reason. When you stand before God, he says, I know your choice. I know your profession. I know your interest. I know your service. I know you suffered for my cause. And he's going to say, thank you, Lord. Come on in. You'll never be ashamed of your testimony for Christ. When you die, I didn't say if you die. I said when you die, the hour of your death, you will never be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed. When you stand in the bedroom and the hospital room and your family will be around you, and you will not be ashamed that you follow Christ all your life. How about that? How many of you buried your loved ones? You buried people that love the Lord. You stood beside their bed. They one thing they wanted to talk about. One thing they loved. I remember Mother Wallace going up there giving her communion for the last time. How about that? Perk right up. She was all down and out. Come in there. The man of God come in there with a communion. She just perked right up. She died the next day. You won't be ashamed of the day of judgment. When the day of judgment comes, you will not be ashamed of your testimony about Jesus Christ, your life that you served, that you lived. You will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. Listen. Paul's chief duty when he walked this earth, when he lived, Paul, he said, what did Paul come to do? Why did Paul preach like this? That was Paul. He gave his testimony to Felix and Agrippa. You remember the story? He gave his testimony. I got to read this all. Y'all bear with me. I'm in Acts 26 and 12, and this may be the last thing I do, even though I got tons of stuff. But in Acts 26 and 12 and 18, Paul's giving his testimony. He's not ashamed of it. And he don't know what his future lies because he's on his way to be judged in Rome. But Paul's giving his testimony. He said in Acts 26 and 12, he said, whereupon as I went into Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. Y'all know why he was going to Damascus. He was going to kill people. Okay? And he says this. This is his testimony. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Come on now. Okay? But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Okay? Singular. To make thee a minister and a witness both these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. Now watch Paul. Y'all be careful with these preachers. All they want to do is talk politics. And all they want to do is have all these politicians around them and everything. Both sides of them, Republican and Democrat. Listen, I'll call you to preach, you better preach.
Amen.
He preaches, he's preaching Donald Trump messages and preaching Hillary Clinton messages. Listen, I don't want to hear that on Sunday morning. Okay? Here's what Paul said God called him to do. Verse 17. Delivering the people from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. How about that? An apostle to the Gentiles. Okay? To the heathens. Watch what his job was to do. Come on now. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive, here's an important thing, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Listen, you cannot go to heaven unless your sins have been forgiven. Okay? The Bible, and the Bible said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Forgiven. Paul's job and the preacher's job is to prepare people. To prepare people. To prepare people to meet the Lord. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Okay? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Okay? And these folks getting gunned down, they getting shot up, and all this crazy stuff going in the world. And I understand what Jesus said. He's a man of sorrow, because you know where the sorrow come from? Saul come from me, not because they died, because everybody died. It's because how they died. Did they know the Lord? Did they know the Lord? Charles Wesley, when you meet a person, you meet somebody in the mall, you meet somebody at the food court, or wherever you at, and the first thing you come to your mind, did this person know the Lord? Did this person know Jesus Christ? Did he know Jesus Christ, or did she know Jesus Christ? And when you start talking to him, now you start trying to wrap that conversation into a, how can I get this person? How can I talk to this person about their need for a Savior? That's some work. I mean, somebody, people over there at mosque, they don't believe in Jesus. What a tragedy. That's the real tragedy. See, that's the real tragedy, is they didn't believe in Jesus. The real trail, everybody crying, oh, they died. Hey, listen, folks, listen. Then it's not like they're going to run out of caskets. Okay? It's, do you know the Lord? See, that's the problem for me. Not dying. I'm not saying in a way that I can't wait to die, but somebody say congratulations. You know, pastor died. It's over. Pastor dead. No, he ain't dead. He passed over. Well, how y'all doing? Y'all getting ready? We gonna do faith.